Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountain, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Oh, someday there'll be no tomorrow, said Unbe, too busy to pray. Yes, someday there'll be no tomorrow, so talk to your Savior today. Yes, someday there'll be no tomorrow, so don't be too busy to pray. Yes, someday there'll be no tomorrow, so talk to your Savior today. Yes, someday there'll be no tomorrow, so don't be too busy to pray. Yes, someday there'll be no tomorrow, so talk to your Savior today. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gives blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. True it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been to a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces, and there have been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hour, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was alone. True it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, I've upon his word. I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. True it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storm he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. True it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon his word. I just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out, seems like padlocks around the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing, that's the love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test he must face. It is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on a mountain, looking back I can see. When I was in the lowest valley, this strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace he gives to me. God has made this trial a blessing, though it sent me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God has made this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. That's the truth. Now I'm standing on the mount. I was not always a happy camper, but I sure am now. He's made it through this valley. And I thank him for the valley. I thank him for being found worthy to to be used of the Lord, to suffer for his name's sake, to standing up for truth. See, we're standing up for truth. It's just that's the bottom line, you know. At the end of the day, it's the truth that they hate about us. They don't hate us for who we are. They hate us because we presented the truth to them. That's it. And they freak right out. They can't handle truth. See, if you're not born again, you can't handle truth. But if you're born again, you love the truth. If you're predestinated. Mein Jesus, der dem mich zum Lust belebigli. That devil, he don't like, he hates that bride. He's so jealous because we're going to get what he always wanted to have. But he blew it. We got a lot of enemies. But that's just the way it is. Sometimes when I'm weary, Satan wars with my soul to get my mind off the cross. Then I start fighting battles Christ has already won. In a war, Satan's already lost. But if I hold fast to the foot of the cross, I'll be caught in his life-cleansing blood. If I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. Oh, can you picture Calvary and that one spotless lamb that suffered and died for my sins? His blood rained so deep that it covered my soul, and Satan, you cannot enter in. But if I hold fast to the foot of the cross, I'll be caught in this life-cleansing flood. If I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. Oh, can you picture Calvary and that one spotless lamb that suffered and died for my sins? His blood rained so deep that it covered my soul, and Satan, you cannot enter in. But if I hold fast to the foot of the cross, I'll be caught in his life-cleansing blood. If I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. But if I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. That happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Satan was defeated. God took everything back from him, the kingdom of this world. But he was given 6 days, 6,000 years, and then when his 6,000 years were up, which is in 2028, the 6,000 years are up. We got it right. We got that midnight cry. That told us everything. That told us where we were at that time. That told us his days are numbered. And he knows that. That's why he's freaking out. Mm-hmm. That's why he hates us so much. He hates us when we open up our mouth, when we talk. He'd like to shut us down if he could. But it's impossible because he was defeated 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And he's a vegetable. He's a has-been. He's nothing.
He's just around to test people.
Yeah, he's around to see if we have enough faith to test, to see if we're going to fall for his tricks. But see, we're not ignorant of his tactics. We see him in the scriptures. We read the Bible, and we read the Bible all our lives, and we know exactly the dirty tricks what he's up to. He can only work through deception.
Right.
That's what he's doing here for the last, really, especially here in Laodicea, here in this church here in Laodicea. I want to read you something here. I just I was up during the night for a little bit, and I was wondering what the Lord wants us to speak on, and I want to continue on from yesterday about these. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. And what was back then, when Jesus was here, it's the same thing today. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about how they're going to be. You still have that clip. How many preachers do you want to make? I want to make it right. I don't want to say something that's not 100% true. Matthew 23. I want to show you exactly what went on back there. And it's going on the very same thing today. See, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil just repeats himself. But you want to know what we're talking about, you just go read Matthew 23.
Meadow Lane, Espenheim, Broad Valley, Prairie Blossom, Rolling Acres, Riverside.
So, what's that, 6 or 8?
That's 6. So that's till August.
All of them in August?
No, April to August.
April to August. So did they do
that? That's probably one side, you know.
Oh, just the Gibbs?
I'd say.
Matthew 23. Something stuck out to me. One. See, here's that making preacher thing. I'll put it in today's language. Matthew 23, that's these people we're talking about, these scribes and these Pharisees and these zealots and these scorpions, and it's all the same thing. And today that spread is here, and these tugs, they call them tugs, and they're still scorpions. It's still that. It's that same spirit that's on these preachers. And we don't hate the people. We're just exposing them. We hate that spirit that drives them. And they've been given over to, because of power and control. And I'll read the one in the whole Matthew 23 is a wake-up call. But I'll start in 15. Woe to you experts in the law. The other translation, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you preachers. Woe unto you Hutterite preachers, hypocrites. Here, it's a very plain stuff. But see, what we're doing, we're bringing it into this language. It's not, it didn't just happen back then. It happens on, to every generation. They got to put up with these scribes and these Pharisees and these hypocrites. For you compass land and sea to make one proselyte. You go from colony to colony to make a preacher. I'm putting it to today's language. And when I'm done, you're going to see you don't want that job. For you compass sea and land, make one preacher, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you yourself are. I say, I'm not mad. I'm mad at that demon that's controlling him. I'm mad at the devil. These people, they need salvation just like that girl that walked in the streets. Woe unto you experts in the law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. You cross land and sea to make one convert. When you get one, you make him twice as much of a child of hell as you yourself. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it. Vehiach Shrifgelet and Pharisea. When you see this here scripture, Shifkelet and Pharisee, that's these Hutterite preachers at these pulpits. Just that simple. Now, I want to make it abundantly clear. They're not all part of that. Just like back in the days of Jesus, there was some that didn't fall for that Pharisee, like Nicodemus. He didn't approve of their garbage. And there was some that Jesus had a conversation with, and he told that one guy, you're not that far from that. Kingdom of God, but the majority of them, they're sold out for power. They are Schriftgelehrte and Pharisäer, ihr Heiler. Die landen, was er umziehet, da sie rein Juden genossen macht, Und wenn es geworden ist, macht ihr aus ihm ein Kind, der alle zwiefältig mehr denn ihr seid. Like I say, I didn't write the Bible, but during the night the Lord reminded me of this very scripture. This very scripture: woe unto you experts in the law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, you cross land and sea to make one convert, and when you get one, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you yourself are. Heavenly Father, we just read your word here. We just pray you'll give us the grace to say it in such a way, Lord, that it wouldn't be condemning, but it'll be more or less just to open the hearts of the people, Lord, because I got a lot of friends and a lot of family in that hypocritical thing there, and a lot of relatives, and we care about them, but we have to expose them what they're caught up in. And Lord, it wasn't but for your grace and mercy, I would be caught up in the same mess, Lord. But somehow you kept me from falling into that pit and become a twofold child of hell, Lord. Over the years, when I examine everything, Lord, it's just your grace that you kept me from being that ambitious that someday I'd want to be a preacher. Everybody that grows up in that colony has an ambition to someday be a preacher, because that's all they got to look for. And once they become a preacher, Lord, they want to become an elder, a bishop, an eldest, whatever you want to call it. But see, Lord, we took that thing to Calvary because we saw it for what it is. At the end of the day, all you become is just another dictator, just another J. Klein saucer number two, and that's the only thing that system can produce. And all it produces is another twofold child of hell. And we looked at that, and we examined it, and we took it to Calvary, and that ambition had to go, because, Lord, we see it in the Scripture, what it becomes of people that have an ambition like that, a diabolical ambition to someday become this high man, this high guy on the block, this number one person, Lord. And we just took it to Calvary, and we just give you thanks that you give us the grace to see into that diabolical system, Lord. And we just pray, just continue to do it as you see fit. Give that increase in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
See, we have to say things the way the Lord wants us to say it. Like I say, we had a conversation about it, yes, about making preachers and all that stuff. And the people, they think we're mad at them and that we're trying to get even. I never did try to get even with the way they treated me. I just tell it, give it to the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And I know enough that you can't allow yourself to be burdened down with taking vengeance in your own hands and then a spirit of hatred comes up in your heart and your system, and then you're just as guilty as they are. We're just taking things out there and putting it into this language. They're doing the very same thing they did back then. Here they're going to go up to the Rod Valley, and they're going to make another preacher, and then they go down to that Pleasant View colony, and they're going to make another preacher. And then when they make a preacher, something takes over. Like, they become like more like an animal than a preacher. I know, I got the proofs in the pudding. That guy up at that preacher up in Riverside, that Eli guy, we used to go skating together. We used to go smoking out behind the barn together. We used to get along good. We used to play checkers and all kinds of stuff, and play hockey and the different things. And then it was all right. I mean, we were hanging out together a lot of times. And then he became preacher, and then he, bit by bit, he evolved into more or less like an animal and a dictator and a real vicious person. And then when I look back, I took inventory of that. I thought about that last night, during the night, and I thought about that, how see, it's exactly what they say here. When you've made a preacher, then he make out of him more like a two-fold child of hell, twice as bad as you yourselves are. And I got the proofs in the pudding. Because my dad, he was a preacher, and he was just as vicious as Yahweh when push came to shove, because he didn't like me challenging him. In fact, so much, he said, he told me one day I should have drowned you in your first bath, because, see, I was going up against that hierarchy. I was going up against that Pharisaical system. I saw through it for what it was, and I slowly began to expose it. By the Spirit of the living God, the Lord of glory, allow me to go up and just tell them who they really are. And they're exactly what it says here. They themselves cannot enter into the mm-hmm. kingdom. And then what they do, they make sure that they stop the door from other people coming in. That's exactly what happened. I was in their kangaroo courts, and like I say, you might think I'm mad. I'm just mad at the way the devil has deceived people. And I was in their kangaroo courts, and I told about the kingdom of God and his hour. See, the kingdom of heaven is the message for your day. Mm-hmm. And I simply told them the message for your day, which is the kingdom of heaven, and it's exactly what it says here in Matthew 23. You cannot, and you yourself cannot convince yourself, you cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, and you cannot accept the fact that God sent the prophet, and then what you do, and the fact that God sent the prophet here in the church in Laodicea, that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the message for you, day for your hour. Just that simple. The kingdom of heaven evolved. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto. It, mm-hmm. it keeps evolving,
yeah.
And it's always a message for your day. And I presented them with the kingdom of heaven for their day, and they told me, you got till sundown to get out of here. See, they rejected the truth, and then they closed the door for themselves, and then they make sure they tell people they can't allow, they won't allow them to listen. They won't allow them, the people that want to enter in, they won't allow them to enter in. Like mm-hmm. we keep saying, every generation has its toads and has its scorpions and its serpents and everything. And see, we're dealing with the same thing that Jesus dealt with back in his day. We can't help it because God has given us a job. One day we decided we want to follow Jesus no matter what the cost is. And that's what he did. He took us and he allowed us to see the truth. All he got to do is show us the truth, and he knew very well we're going to follow right through with it. That's why we're speaking the way we are. That's why we keep saying it. There are these preachers and these books. They're nothing but these same people, these same, it's a spirit. The spirit doesn't die. He just jumps from these people that there died. He just jumped on to another person and another person. Generation after generation here in these closing days of time, it's these zealots and these people in the pulpit. They're all throughout the world in these churches. They're nothing but a bunch of deceivers, like I keep saying. It's what they don't tell you. Mm-hmm. Not one of them will tell you about God sending a prophet. And just that simple. And we're just trying to expose it for what it is, so that they get somewhere along the road alive and on up to it. Like my dad, he was just as ruthless as any of them. But at least towards the end of it, he acknowledged that he chased me away. And that other guy, that Eli guy, were sitting in the same room. And my dad owned up, and that Eli, he tried to defend himself. And to this day, he's trying to justify himself. In fact, he came here a few years back, and he came here, him and that other guy from Bloomfield. And we had a conversation. They were trying to, I don't know what we were talking about. So they left, and then he came back and opened the door, and he just, and I want you to remember one thing, I didn't chase you away. See, he's trying to justify himself because he's evolved into a twofold child of hell. And that's just that simple, because that's what that system does. When they get in that pulpit and they put on that hat, something overtakes them that they're beyond reason. You know, you can't reason with the people. I tried to talk to that sometime back in the day. I'd run into that Levi from Westrock. And I tried to get him one-on-one. I said, let's go, we'll have some coffee. Oh, no, I got to take these, they're waiting for these parts back on. See, you can't get them on one. They run like, they're like wolf packs. They like these kangaroo courts, and a whole bunch of them get together, and they're like the Democrats. They stick together when it comes to garbage, you know. You can't reason with them because it's all part of the same mess. And like I told this one guy, they're like a wolf pack. They run in packs. Like that's what they do when they go from Cullen to the Gullen. They Rich, they call it. They're going there Rich, you know, to see if they can soon as somebody becomes born again, the whole club goes there, and then they do exactly what they say. Or you yourself can't enter in, and then you terrorize the people that do want to come in. I'll just read it to you. It says, woe unto you.
13, but woe unto you, experts in the law, you Pharisees, hypocrites. You keep locking people out of the kingdom of heaven. See, I'm presenting them with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the message for your day. Here in Laodicea, the kingdom of heaven, back in the days of Brother Branham, it was the kingdom of heaven that I presented with them. For you neither enter in nor permit those trying to enter in. Here's a different translation. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself. See, they couldn't accept the fact that God sent the prophet. That's what I told them. That's the kingdom of heaven. And they couldn't go in. For ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Some people, they want to go in. They want to know what we have to say. But they put them in the outs the minute they do, the minute they even ask a question. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. And then when
Jesus was done with them, and then they crucified him, simply because he told them the truth. And then Paul goes on, he's got to put up with the same zealots, like you said, I fought with wolves at Ephesus. Mm-hmm. That's what he was fighting with. He was fighting with these zealots and these scribes and these Pharisees. And then he said, what to God, they were cut off. What to God, they were dead. That's what he was saying here back here. Because he had to put up with them. Because he warned people. After our departure, these grievous wolves will come and they'll take over. And they'll pollute everything. And that's exactly what happened. And the church, early church apostles, they went to sleep. And then the devil came and using these tugs and these scribes and these Pharisees and these zealots. And we're just bringing everything into today's language. That's why it's so hard to digest. That's why there's not too many people listening. They're spying on us. But they won't do nothing about it. That's exactly what it says. You yourself cannot convince yourself to accept the truth for your day. So what do? You make sure that nobody gets it. You know, they're like the dog in the manger.
Yeah.
for that thing, it was no good to that dog. But he was not going to let that lamb have that hay. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. Nature tells us a lot of things. They themselves cannot convince themselves to believe what Samuel and Ren have to say, that then they make sure the rest get punished if there's not to even question it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was reading something today. I'll read it over, and like you were saying, it kind of falls in the line of this here. So it's in John 1, chapter 19. Now, this was John's testimony. That's John the Baptist. He came preaching about the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. There it is. Now, this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites, these are the Jewish leaders here now. Those are the highfalutin people, the preachers of their day. Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? They were wondering who this John the Baptist is here.
He was getting all the attention.
That's right. He was getting attention and he was starting to stir things up. So they wanted to know what's going on. And he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So he told them, right, I'm not the Christ. So they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then he said to them, who are you? Then they said to him, who are you? Tell us so that we can give an answer to those who sent us. So they sent them people to find out what's going on. What do you say about yourself? John said, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. See here? They were sent from the Pharisees.
Same stuff today.
They wanted to find out so they can shut it down. That's the spirit behind it. So they asked John, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not recognize, who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. These things happen in Bethany across Jordan River where John was baptizing. See, like you were saying, like the dog in the manger. They want to make sure that nobody finds the way. Mm-hmm. And that was the Pharisees' job there, the spirit of the Pharisees. Jesus warned his disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. He was starting to warn them because up until that point, everybody thought the Pharisees, that's the way to the kingdom. And here Jesus is exposing them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And that's all we're doing. We're exposing those Pharisees of our hour. Amen. Like today they're not called Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. Today they're called popes or bishops or preachers in the pulpit. Because yeah, those are the people that same spirit of Satan is using to deceive people so they cannot enter in.
Amen to that. And we're just exposing it. There's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Satan just puts on a different set of clothes, maybe a longer beard, and he starts parting his hair in the middle, and he puts a certain hat on, and he's got the people deceived. That's mm-hmm. all the devil does. He just changes his clothes. But behind it is the spirit of Satan, simply to deceive the people and to do exactly what it says here. But you yourself cannot convince yourself that Samuel or Anna are right. So what do? They shut the door for the people that want to know. There's a lot of people out there. My family, they got them so turned against me, you know. They don't believe a word I'm saying. And then they think the preachers are right. And then they keep threatening them and keep the door shut so that they don't even as much as ask a question. Mm-hmm. It's a fear tactic, fear mongering. And Jesus warned us, fear not them thugs. Fear not them that kill the body. See, we're not afraid what they'll do to us. They can, mm-hmm. if the law of the land would allow it, they'd have burned us at the stake 10 times over already. But they can't touch us because, like we say in here, they'd have to walk through the blood. You know, we've committed our ways to the Lord, and they cannot do nothing until the Lord allows them to do
Absolutely.
It. Like I told my father-in-law, he stood in the doorway, as of tomorrow morning, you don't have a wife, you don't have any children, you got nothing, you don't even have a name, you're just a number.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you'll do whatever the Lord allows you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if he allows it, it'll work for my benefit. But in the meantime, I've decided to follow Jesus, and I don't care what your threats are.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the next day he came over and he terminated me. But see, the Lord, I wasn't afraid of losing everything. I wasn't afraid of, if I have to die, I die. If I die, I die, like Esther. If I die, I die. I'm not afraid of these thugs. They can't do nothing. They come around here, and sometimes they come here and threaten, but we're not subject to them. They can't do nothing to us because the Lord doesn't allow them to do anything. In fact, the other day here, we're sitting here in the morning and you just chirped up. You know, the Lord just spoke to me. I've given you power over serpents and over scorpions and all power of the devil. Talking about something else, and all of a sudden he said, the Lord just spoke to me and given me power over scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Well, I was shocked because we're talking about something else, and then I didn't know what it meant. And here, lo and behold, before the day was over, here comes one of these scorpions in here. One of these 100-eyed preachers come walking in here. And there's that scorpion, there's that serpent, there's that thing that the Lord warned you about, you have power of, and you can't let him overcome you.
Yeah, right? You have power because you have the Word of God and you have truth. See, they don't have truth. And that's how you can overcome them, is because we know the truth for our day and hour, and we know what these religious leaders have. They're just like, they have the same tactics as the Pharisees. They try to intimidate people and fear monger them in order not for them to not to be able to stir the nest. And so, but once you're on to the to Satan and his tactics, then it's quite easy. But when you're not aware of the tactics of the enemy, then it can be a little overpowering.
Well, they can pretty much trap you like that. Jeremy almost had us finished off because behind him was the spirit of sin in a very subtle manner. And man, we went through a lot by the time we realized. The Lord was teaching us something.
Mm-hmm.
He's preparing us. He's allowed us to go through that Jeremy chapter to prepare us for the next chapter. That's all that we're doing. Mm-hmm. God is teaching us and He's allowing us to go through certain persecutions. Like I told my father-in-law, you can only do what the Lord allows you to do. If the Lord allows it, it will work for my benefit. And I learned a lot through that. And then the Lord put me on this journey and when I went to the Pentecostals and to the Baptists and to the different ones and ended up at the ministry of the Brother Branham. And then the Lord took me to the ministry of Brother Jackman. Here we are doing exactly what we're supposed to do. We're doing the final finishing touches to that building. This is the final chapter. Let me tell you once again, time and time again, if you reject this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's all over. You're going to go down exactly where it says in Matthew 22. You can go read it yourself, Matthew 22. What's going to happen, these people that rejected that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's the only thing that's left in the day and hour that we're now living. We're very close to the ending of all things. One of these days, that rapture will happen. As soon as you're going to see Israel build their temple and they've taken their borders, and everything is heading that direction. And according to the midnight cry, in 2028, it's all over but the crying. Then Jesus comes down, not Jesus, but that big angel, powerful angel, maybe Michael, maybe some angel comes down and takes Satan and throws him into hell, and then there's no more Satan after that.
That's right. And the
millennium ran, and the millennium, there's no devil around. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. And we're heading towards that direction, 100 miles an hour, and we're just about here, just 3 years from now, mein Jesus, der du mich zum Lust beliebigli, dir hast erwählet. And it talks about that in that song, about Babylon coming down. That's that old religious infrastructure. Mm-hmm. That's all it is Babylon, and Babylon is coming down. That whole satanic infrastructure. Everything that happened, everything is going to go back to exactly where it was before Adam and Eve fell, before that serpent showed up in the garden, before Satan really enticing that serpent to do his dastardly thing. And then he was given 6 days because he won the battle back there. He got Adam and Eve deceived by trickery, and he's just still up to the same old trick. He'd like to deceive us, and he'd like us to cave to these tugs that come in here trying to convince us to go back to the compound and to their cult. But we know what that whole right thing is all about. The Satan is the head of it. And we're just being honest. We can't speak no other way than being honest. Because so the Lord has allowed us to see all that stuff.
And a lot of things God allows. Like He allowed the Assyrians to take out the 10 ordered tribes. But when He was finished with the Assyrians, He made out with the Assyrians. And the Babylonians came and they were no more after that, when the Babylonians came on. And that's the same way with the Babylon. And see, when God uses these wicked people to fulfill His will, He used the scribes and the Pharisees when the time came to crucify Jesus, to do away with Him. Like Jesus said, you only have power which is given you from above. And then they were done away with. And the same way with the Holocaust. When God was done with the Nazis, they were hunted down and killed. They had to. A lot of them were smuggled out of the country. There were people that pursued it and had them killed and put to trial. Some they couldn't find, but most of them they found and hunted them down. And that's the same way when you will look at all around the world, like in the Grace Age, a lot of things, people got away with a lot of things, like here in America. But what judgment is coming, just like God used these people In the end, he also judged them. Mm-hmm. And the same way is going to happen with all these, like those preachers in the pulpit that have not been found faithful, these politicians. The judgment day is coming. Mm-hmm. We're going to walk right into it one day. It's just going to happen.
The day is set. It'll just bump right into it. It'll bump right into the day of the Lord, the judgment of all judgment, and there's no more reversing it. Time is moving ahead. And somewhere up the road here, it's that day of the Lord. Up the road here, just a few years from now, it's that judgment. All we're doing, we're warning people, there's a chance to repent. You can still turn around and acknowledge that you're a sinner man. And that, believe what we're saying, that preacher thing is so diabolic, I don't want to even go near it. I took a look at it when I was growing up in the colony. That's the only thing you got to look for. Maybe someday I'll become preacher. Maybe someday I'll become a bishop. And then I look at it. I step back and look at it. That's the ambition of every hutterite person. Someday I want to be in that pulp. Someday I want that big job. Just like these two disciples, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She came to Jesus. Oh, I got a big request for you. Oh, what do you want from me? I want my number one son to stand at the right hand when they come to your kingdom, and his other son to be the number two guy. And that's the same ambition. If you do not take that garbage to the cross of Calvary and crucify it, you got that same ambition. I don't care what color hair you are or what your last name is. You got that, you're in that colony. That's all you got to look forward to. If you got any ambition at all, that's the only ambition you can muster up for yourself. I want to be preacher. And then once you become preacher for a while, 10, 15, 20 years, then you see that old Leonard up there, he's getting up pretty good in age, and now what these young thugs do, they want to become a bishop. They want to take his place. That's the only thing that you have to look forward to in that diabolical system. It's all a power trouble. And I'm just being honest. It's just, I looked at it, and I looked at it. You know, if I ever succeed to become a preacher, and if I ever succeed to become an elder, all I got to do, all I become is a J. Kleinsauer number two, a first-class dictator, a pope. That's all it is. You might think I'm just telling people the way it is, because these people are blinded. They cannot see. They can't see the way it needs to be seen. You know, Jesus warned back in the day, it took them 3.5 years to open the eyes of a disciple. Watch. Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, unless your righteousness exceeds them, you can in no wise enter in. It's just impossible. You won't even enter. Well, oh man, who can be saved then? See, that's how deceived these people are. To this day, when we talk about these zealots and these scorpions and these pulpits, they think we're crazy. They think we're blessing. No, we're just bringing everything into today's language.
That's right.
If we don't do it, it's not going to be done, and it'll just continue, and people go out to hell and that, they won't even know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Just like that rich man, he thought for sure he's going to get the blessings of the Lord throughout eternity, and then in hell he opened up his eyes and he found himself on the wrong side of the fence. And that's the same thing today. These preachers and these folks, they think they're on the right side, but see what God did, rich in mercy. He gave that boss of Forest River calling out of the body experience, and then reality set in, and he realized he's been duped, he's been deceived. He thought for sure he's got himself a ticket to glory. If he dies, fine. If not, well, you just keep on working in the colony, and lo and behold, here he has a heart attack, and he died, was dead for 17 minutes or something, and then reality set in, and he realized he's on the wrong side of the fence. He couldn't try to get into heaven, and they just stopped him dead in his tracks. Why would we let you in here? What have you done for Jesus? Oh, I was boss in the colony, this, that, and the other, and the other. And he was the best of the best. He at least tried to do something, because I know him. I worked with the man all day long. He was trying to witness, but see, he wasn't about the Lord's business. He was not being led by the Lord, by the Spirit of the Living. He was supporting a regime that diabolic, and he didn't know that. And then he begged and he pleaded, and they gave him another chance. And, And a couple of months he was around, driving around, giving his testimony, went from colony to colony to let people know that that Hutterite thing is just number one first-class deception. What did they do? They shut it down. They didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Once I found his truth, I took a wheel and went down to talk to his boys about it. They didn't want to talk about it. In fact, it looked like they would have wished he would have died right there when he had a heart attack, instead of coming back and telling us that the whole right thing is not it. And they went down honestly, that's the attitude they had. They didn't want that thing to come out in the open. But see, I heard him say it because he was only sitting 4 feet from me when I heard him say it. And then that put me on a search. That put me, he said, John, there's something out there. If we put our life on the line, we'll find it. And then we can work on that because this other right thing is not it. We're being deceived. And see, I heard it, and that's exactly what I did. That's why I'm talking here like that now. Because of that man, he came to warn us. So why should a man come back from the dead and tells us where it's at? Just like that rich man. He begged and he pleaded to Abram to send Lazarus back to my father's house and warn him about these things. And what Abram said, well, they got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they don't hear them, they're not going to hear when somebody comes back from the dead. And that's exactly what happened with that Joe Mandel. They didn't hear when he came back from the dead and told them what's going on. They just want to shut him up. And it's the same thing today. We're telling them the truth. But see what they're going to do. They're going to try to shut us up. But see, that's okay. They cannot touch us unless the Lord allows them to touch us. And if the Lord allows it, Lord allows them to shut us down, then the Lord will just open another door and we'll go into something else. Maybe go into the rapture. Maybe into glory. Who knows? We don't really care. We're not afraid of what people will do to us. We just know that we got the truth, and the truth will set you free. Just that simple.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks for another glorious day of life, Lord. We just pray that we use it for your glory. And we just pray that you'll take these words and let them speak to the hearts of people, Lord. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see, that they may be able to perceive these things, Lord. And if they need to repent, that they repent and give you the glory, Lord. And we speak to the hearts of people, Lord, that they cannot trust and depend on these preachers to show them the way, Lord. Because I know when I was still in the colony, you gave me that scripture, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. And it put me on a course, on a journey, Lord, to seek that kingdom, Lord. And you brought me to the righteousness for our day and hour, to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And that's where I found you, Lord, for our day and hour, Lord. And we're just presenting it to people, Lord, so it's not too late for them to acknowledge their wrongs and to repent. And to find their way, we just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.